Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Blue Jays Nation Radio
with Cam Lewis and Tyler Yaremchuk,
a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome in. It's episode 57 of Blue Jays Nation Radio, a little off-season edition. It's been a while, Coomzy. It's been a while.
It has. How long has it been? Been like 2-3 weeks. I feel like the last time we talked, what did we even talk about? What had even happened?
I honestly don't remember. I remember you did an episode with BK where you guys just talked shit about me for like 60 seconds off the bat in the intro.
We made fun of you for more than 60 seconds. It was like 45 minutes. We didn't even talk about baseball. We just made fun of you.
I turned on the episode. I heard you guys being like, Tyler hates baseball. And I just turned it right off. I was like, yeah, I don't need to listen to this.
I'm pretty sure that's what everyone does when they turn on the podcast. You just turn it off immediately.
They're like, why am I subscribed to this? Why does it keep coming into my... Yeah, anyways, podcast brought to you by DoorDash. As always, BJ and Pod DD gets first-time users of the app 25% off and no delivery fees. Let's dig into this off-season, what we've had over the last couple of weeks. And I think the best way to handle this is just to kind of go in chronological order. And we'll start, I guess, with Steven Matz leaving the Blue Jays, going to the Cardinals. Not surprised, really, that he opted to leave. I mean, maybe a little, but I mean, at the end of the day, the guy's chasing the money, right? You can't really blame him. And the Jays made an offer. He decides to go to St. Louis. I'm not like upset that Steven Matz isn't coming back, though.
No, definitely not the end of the world. I think probably the more interesting thing to consider now with Steven Matz, and I mean, this feels like this happened 5 months ago, given like all the other events that have happened in the offseason. This feels like ages ago. But the more interesting thing to talk about with Steve Matz now, I guess, in hindsight, that we have a whole bunch of time to talk about nothing, is whether the Jays would have been smart to give him a qualifying offer. Because he wound up getting a deal, like, I think the prediction was kind of the Jay Happ contract, right? $12 million annual, or $12 million a year, 3 years, but he ends up getting that fourth year. So, I mean, if that's what teams viewed Steven Matz as being worth, then maybe he would have declined the qualifying offer and the Jays could have had themselves another draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly is a conversation worth having. They ended up getting two comp picks in the deals for Semien and Ray as well. So, I mean, a third would have been just fine. So that is a fair point to bring up. And now they got to get to work on replacing him because, I mean, you're not penciling in Nate Pearson to a season-long rotation spot. That's not happening. No. So you're going to go with Gausman. And then you're going to go Manoah, Berríos. I know I'm saying them in whatever order. Then you got Ryu and you're going to need someone else into this mix here. And maybe we'll touch on some candidates a little bit later. But the second piece of news we got in the offseason was Marcus Semien. Holy shit, $175 million. That was the first thing that came out of my mouth. I was like, wow, that guy got paid on a big deal to go to Texas with the Rangers. They end up spending like what, $500 million on their middle infield. Insane. Semien had a great season, obviously MVP candidate, but that's a lot for a 31-year-old middle infielder.
It is. Yeah. I mean, they dropped $600 million on Semien and Corey Seager. And I think, I mean, it sucks to see Marcus Semien go, but it's not at all shocking. The Jays wouldn't do 7 years given the fact they, you know, just did a huge contract with George Springer last offseason. They, you know, need to sign pitchers. They have Bo and Vlad. They're going to become expensive soon. That's a whole other thing because their free agency can change completely based on this CBA. So they could be paying those guys quicker than we expect. So it's not at all shocking to see the Jays didn't go ahead and do a deal with Semien. I mean, We really don't know who they're going to replace Semien with. I think it's more likely it comes through a trade, but I mean, that's yet to be seen. The kind of positive thing about Semien here, and I mean, maybe I'm trying too hard to look for a positive, but this is kind of what came to mind when it randomly ended up being Texas signing him, is like, at the very least, the Rangers suck. Even after signing both those guys, they're still terrible. Yeah. Like, there was a mock lineup of theirs getting posted, and it just looks like, okay, this team loses a game 9-2, and both Seager and Semien have hit like back-to-back home runs. Like, that's what they look like. They just look bad. So on the positive side, at least Semien didn't go to a team that the Jays are competing with, right? At least he didn't sign with the fucking Yankees. That's the one positive we can gain here.
And that was the big positive for me out of the Ray thing as well. Like, with both these guys, the Jays got their pick. It sucks they lost the player, but like, I wasn't holding my breath that Marcus Semien was going to be back with the Blue Jays. I didn't think it was going to happen. I mean, we would talk about this during the season, and we both kind of said like, unlikely this guy's back. Robbie Ray was a little bit of a bigger surprise, but even then you kind of just started to get the sense as free agency went along that, especially as the Jays started getting linked to some other guys, Kevin Gausman being one, that the Ray deal wasn't even really going to happen and the Jays were going to let both these guys go and get the picks.
Yeah, well, as soon as the Jays signed Gausman, we all knew Ray was gone. Yeah, there was no way. And I mean, Ray and Gausman are very similar. I mean, Ray's the guy that has more flash because we know who he is. And because he just won the Cy Young, whereas Gausman, you know, he finished sixth in Cy Young voting in the National League. No one pays attention to the San Francisco Giants here, so no one really knows anything about him. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the thing with Gausman is he's pretty much identical to Ray. They're both, you know, they're the same age. They both were kind of reclamation projects recently, figured it out. Gausman's also a two-pitch pitcher. The key difference is that Ray strikes a lot of guys out, whereas Gausman doesn't walk as many guys and limits home runs. The home run thing could also be because he was pitching in San Francisco. But again, like, end of day, like, it's pretty realistic that this isn't at all a downgrade from Robbie Ray, and the Jays went ahead and got themselves a compensatory draft pick. So like, that's positive. I mean, going from Gausman to Ray is completely fine. The thing now is figuring out how they're going to replace Marcus Semien. And that's definitely not an easy thing to do, because I mean, let's be real here. Even if you had just re-signed Marcus Semien, you might not be replacing what you got out of him in 2021. Like, he might never have a season that good again. Like, it's a tall task to figure out how to get those, 46 home runs again.
Yeah,
it's going to be, it's not going to be easy.
Well, and now I love that point you made about, even if you brought back Semien, you might not replace Marcus Semien. And it was the same thing with Robbie Ray as well, right? Like, everyone all of a sudden is just saying like, yep, Robbie Ray, Cy Young winner. And it's like, okay, there's no guarantees Robbie Ray has another Cy Young season. Like, that's a big concern going into next year, is that this team had a great regular season. They just missed out on the playoffs. They had the Cy Young winner, and they had Marcus Semien doing what he did, hitting nearly 50 bombs. And there's no guarantee you find that production anywhere. And it wasn't a guarantee even if you brought these guys back.
Yeah, it's kind of, I'd say from our perspective as doing like content, it's kind of a positive for us that the Jays haven't gone ahead and replaced Semien before the lockout, because now we can speculate while there's nothing to talk about. But I mean, the Jays have been linked to fucking everyone. I mean, Chris Taylor ends up re-signing with the Dodgers. He would have made all kinds of sense because he plays every position. There's Chris Bryant talk now, you know, left-handed bat that can play third base. There's always been talk about Jose Ramirez from Cleveland trading for him. And then there's the completely random and out of the blue one, which was that the Jays are apparently interested in Freddie Freeman. And I've actually heard, I don't know how accurate this is, but I've heard that Freddie Freeman was the one that approached the Jays as in regards to being interested to playing in Toronto. So that is kind of interesting, though. I mean, it's not really much of a rumor. It's more just
hearsay.
Yeah, it's kind of just like, you know, the guy reporting it's been right on a few things, but this seems like very out of the blue. But
yeah, it's super out of the blue, especially considering the season Vladdy had at first base. It just feels like Vlad was so comfortable in that spot. Why would you want to risk disrupting that unless you plan on moving Freeman across the diamond? But like, that doesn't make a ton of sense unless you plan on just like doing something where one of them DHs and one of them plays first base. But like, you know, then we get into the same debate we had at the deadline last year when it was like, oh, do you bring in Nelson Cruz? And it was like, well, then you really limit the way your lineup can work with all these talented hitters when you just plug up the DH spot. And I get it. Freddie Freeman is, you know, he's elite, right? Really he just good. Won a World Series. He's really good. And yeah, maybe you do plug up that DH spot and just play Vladdy and Freeman between first and the designated hitter next year. But I think the best fit for me, I'll say fits. If you're going to go the free agent route, it's Bryant, right? And if you're going to go the trade route, it's Ramirez. And those are the two slam dunk would make your team better. Could maybe give you the Marcus Semien type production. I know neither of them are hitting 46 home runs next year, but they could get your lineup to that level that you had with Semien, I think.
Yeah, at the very least they offer, I think another key reason why the Jays weren't particularly keen on offering Semien the money that they needed to keep him around was the Jays really need to diversify their lineup. I mean, the top of that lineup was lethal, obviously. Springer, Sammy, and Bo, Vlad, Teoscar. Like, that's a ridiculous top five, but all five of them are the exact same guy. They're right-handed, and they, you know, hit for power. You need to sprinkle in something different there. You need to get, you know, Jose Ramirez is a different profile. He, you know, walks significantly more. He's more of a contact hitter. He, you know, he sees more pitches. He's that kind of batter. And then, you know, there's Chris Bryant, who's a lefty. The Jays' number one lefty right now is what? Reese McGuire. Like there's no lefties in that lineup whatsoever. So like adding Chris Bryant would be, you know, it'd be fantastic, obviously, but I guess we'll see. We're going to be able to speculate about this for like how many months, 6, 8, 10, 12, 16. Is there ever going to be baseball again?
It is both hilarious and depressing to go to MLB.com and see that like nothing's there. Like you go to the Blue Jays website and the top story on the Jays website is the Manfred letter. And then after that, it's shit about them winning the World Series in the '90s. And you're like, what's going on here? All the players have changed a bunch of players have changed their Twitter avatars to like a generic whatever face that you would see in like MLB The Show for a created player. Like it's super weird. The lockout officially started. It's not surprising. Like people that were acting like, oh, it's huge. I can't believe this is here. Like you clearly haven't been paying attention over the last like 2 years when this stuff gets talked about. I'm still hopeful that they'll get something done. I think the fact that so many owners were willing to commit big money in free agency tells me that they think there'll be a season and that they'll be able to make money next year. So I just don't think they'll run the risk of having an abbreviated year or missing a whole year. I have a feeling this thing will get done by opening day.
Yeah, let's hope so. I mean, you and I have lived through so many lockouts now because we're NHL guys. You know, we lost a whole season there in 2004-05. That was a huge game changer for the NHL. It resulted in the implementation of the salary cap. It, you know, changed lots and lots and lots of things about that league. And then there was another one. Half of 2012-13 got cut. And then, so we've already lived through like a season and a half gone missing, whereas MLB, they haven't had one since the 90s. But the hope is that no games get lost. But I don't know if I share the same sentiment as you. I think really? The two sides are so, so, so far apart. I think the players are so, so, so unhappy with the condition they have currently. And there's so many different layers of issues that they have with the way that the bargaining agreement has been over the past few years. Like this has been bubbling forever since, I mean, the past, like what, like was it 6, 7 years ago that the first real service time manipulation thing happened? It was Bryant with the Cubs and that kind of brought it into the forefront. And then, you know, we had one here with Vladdy, like everyone seems to have one pretty much. And then there's again, the issues with free agency. When can guys become free agents? That's an interesting one for pretty much teams everywhere. Like the Jays, for example, if it goes the player's way, we could find out all of a sudden that Teoscar Hernandez is an impending free agent. Bo and Vlad could be free agents a year earlier. Like you just don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the owners are going to have to make a pretty big concession for the players, I think. So I just expect this to be like a very long, drawn out, ugly battle.
It's never fun. I mean, yeah, you mentioned like the hockey lockouts that we've both been through and there's nothing just more annoying than having to listen to like the billionaires squabble with the millionaires. And then you got the reporters outside of some random legal office in whatever city in the US, like doing their hits throughout the next however many months it'll be, being like the two sides met for 36 minutes today and it was not positive. And then get that for like a week. It's just going to suck. It's all going to suck.
Yesterday, apparently the meeting was 7 minutes and they just packed it up.
I've never been a part of a CBA negotiation, but I don't even understand like how that works. Like what? So they do their like little like, hello, how's it going? Yep, yep, yep. And then what? They each throw something back and forth and are like, well, fuck you. We're out of here. Like, how does that happen? I don't know.
It's so abstract to think about because there's so many different issues and it affects so many different things. Like, I mean, like again, circling back to the situation about when players become free agents, like how are you then going to negotiate with, you know, the teams are going to be upset that they're suddenly going to have a key player hitting free agency quicker than expected. Like, how do you go about, do you grandfather this in? Is it going to affect right away? Like, it almost seems to me, given that the issues that exist, this does kind of remind me of 2004-05 for the NHL. The NHL was so fucked in the early 2000s. There was, you know, teams had issues with each other because there was only like six or seven teams that were ever competitive. That's kind of what it's like in Major League Baseball now. There's so few teams spending or even trying, and that's a huge problem. And then, you know, there's still the issue with all the players. Like, they want to be able to choose their teams quicker. You don't want to be tied to the Pittsburgh fucking Pirates until you're 32. Like, it's so complicated. But I do think there's a couple things. The fact that the 2020 season pretty much got wiped due to COVID and players and owners both saw like a pretty significant loss there would mean that I don't think anyone's particularly keen on missing any games in 2022. And I also think a different thing we're going to see this time around than with negotiations in the past, especially for baseball, is that I think the media now leans more on the side of the players. I think with like the advent of like Twitter and Reddit and more kind of new age, new media.
Fans have a bigger voice.
Yeah, fans have a bigger voice. And I think fans are more pro-labor. In the past, it was always the narrative like, oh, like you're getting paid millions of dollars to play a fucking sport. But I think just given the conditions of the world, people are significantly more like anti-billionaire class. And we can all kind of see that if you're not paying the players, well, then who's making the fucking money? Like, you know, you get all this cash because the players, we tune in to watch them, right? So fucking pay them.
Yeah.
So I think that's a difference than what we've seen in the past. I mean, like I wasn't around in the 90s, but I know it was like very anti-player in the 90s. People were very angry about these guys being greedy, but it's the ownership class that's the ones being greedy here, really.
Yeah. There's going to be all these weird little, you know, like you said, service time and all of that. And probably a lot of things that casual fans won't care about that they're bickering about in the CBA. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm putting you on the spot about this because we didn't talk about it before, but what do you think are some things, or what are some things you're hoping come from this that you think will actually like improve the sport and could maybe make it like more appealing to a casual fan? Like, I'm seeing the changes to like the way the playoffs work. And we're talking about maybe seven teams from each league get in. The players maybe want six teams from each league. And that's something where I'm like, hey, if you make your postseason and your playoff race more exciting and you make the playoffs even a little bit more attainable, that could deter some teams from wanting to tank, right? That could get teams wanting to be more competitive in spending. Like, that's one thing I look at and go, okay, that's something that I think could immediately improve the sport in the next few months and in the next year once it gets going. What about you? Is there something you're looking at being like, I really want this to come out of the CBA negotiations?
Yeah, I'm the same way as you. I think ultimately what we need is more teams trying and... Mm-hmm. I'm kind of in the middle because I think one way is definitely having a salary cap floor. Like everyone talks about, baseball needs a salary cap like hockey. Well, no, they need a salary cap floor to ensure that teams are, you know, actually like fielding something somewhat competitive. I mean, you have the Baltimore Orioles now and their payroll is significantly
less than Max Scherzer's year average.
Yeah. It's embarrassing. Like, they're not even trying to win. They're talking about potentially trading Cedric Mullins and he isn't even into arbitration yet. Like, that's stupid. But the playoff thing is interesting because you open up the field and it's like the NHL and the NBA. There's significantly more parity. There's more teams in the mix. More teams are trying. It's more exciting. But then you also have shitty teams in the playoffs and that kind of sucks. Like the proposal they put out, MLB apparently put out, involved seven teams per league. So 14 total. The top team in each league gets a bye. And then the two division winners get to pick which of the wildcard teams they get to play, which is kind of fun. But I mean, then you go back and you look at which teams would have actually been in the playoffs and you have a bunch of teams with like 77 wins from the past few years, like sliding in. I mean, this year it would have been sick because the Jays would have played the Yankees and then the Jays, Red Sox, and Yankees all would have been in. That would have been a blast. So that would have been fun. But I mean, the challenge with baseball is your season is so long and yeah. everyone makes the playoffs, half the league makes the playoffs. And it's like, geez, what are we watching here? Like 162 yeah. games to figure out who gets a fucking bye, who gets to have a few days off, who gets to go cold. Like that's another problem right there too, is if your team's off for like 4 or 5 days during the wild card round, then I don't know if you're necessarily at an advantage. Like the rest is great, but I mean, I'm kind of rambling here, but I think there's a better way to do the playoff thing than just adding a whole bunch more teams. But I don't know. That would be the key for me. I don't really care about the universal DH at all. Everyone seems to think National League baseball is terrible. I disagree personally. I think it's a really funny gimmick that the leagues are different. So yeah. I mean, I couldn't care less, but that seems like an inevitability. Yeah, that's pretty much the one. I think the salary cap floor is the key thing. Get like demand teams actually try, because having this many Baltimore Orioles and Pittsburgh Pirates and X, Y, and Z is a joke. If that's how they're going to exist, then don't have 30 teams in the league. If you're too broke to exist, then don't exist.
I was actually just about to bring up the opposite, and I'm wondering what role expansion might play in this. And I mean, if you're the owners and you can get someone who wants to put a team in Vegas, someone wants to put a team in Montreal, maybe someone, name the whatever spots we always hear about, right? If you're sitting there and you're the owners, and maybe a part of this is they sit down and agree, like, hey, we're going to fast track expansion because the owners want a big paycheck. You know, mm-hmm. hockey got $600 million for its franchises or around that number. If you're baseball, you're probably getting more than that for your expansion teams. Yeah. And if you're the players, even if those two teams only want to spend, let's say, $100 million apiece on their payroll, yeah, well, that's an extra $200 million. And that's also an extra 50 jobs that are going to guys that wouldn't be in the league, would be in the minors, whatever. That's two more teams who are going to be potentially in bidding wars in free agency and all of that stuff. So I wonder if expansion might come out of this. And we might hear once the CBA is done that, yeah, baseball's getting ready and they're getting serious about adding teams 31 and 32. It would make sense. I think it would keep both sides happy and it would bring more money to the table.
Yeah, that was always one of the positive things the NHL had going for them with the COVID seasons. I mean, 2019-20, the playoffs got wiped and there was no gate revenue during the bubble playoffs. They made something on the TV money. And then last season, it was shortened down to, you know, half the size of the season. Most of the games were played without fans. But the positive thing for the NHL was the Kraken, as you said, signed a $600 million check that the owners got to share. So that helped compensate for a lot of the cash. So, I mean, this actually could circle around and end up being a negative, because if Major League Baseball on the horizon sees two ownership groups that are willing to write a $1 billion check to have a team pop into the league in the next few years, then the owners are going to be more comfortable having perhaps a full season lockout, right? I mean, I don't know. Like the NHL, man, it was really bad when they had that lockout. They lost a lot of fans. It was really bad for the league, and it took them a very long time to rebound. I don't think baseball could handle it, because, I mean, let's be real. Like baseball's popularity is declining so much. Them losing a whole season would just open up the door for something else to become the thing that people watch in the summer and what they do in the summer. But
people aren't just going to sit. If there's no baseball, baseball fans aren't just going to sit on their hands and be like, shucks, I'll go for a walk. They'll find something else, and a portion of them will fall in love with something else. Like that will happen.
MLS, something different. MLS, different college sports. I don't know. Go start watching the fucking CFL. I have no idea. But like the problem is that the owners, for as intelligent as they are to become the wealthy individuals, they are kind of stupid and lack foresight and self-awareness. And I don't think they realize just how unpopular baseball is becoming. I mean, the whole bickering and grief between these two sides right now, given the world's condition, is like so gross to read about. Like there's so many there's significantly more problems in the world, and it's just like, man, we just want to watch a fucking sport and have a distraction, and you guys can't even go ahead and bang that out. It's just infuriating. So baseball really shouldn't allow themselves to lose any of the season, but knowing Major League Baseball, they probably will.
Yeah. Just continue. Do you want to keep going lockout, or do you want to switch things up? You want to get positive again?
Yeah, let's talk about something positive. This is bleak.
Yeah. Like I'm just sitting here and I'm like, man, this sucked for like the last 15 minutes. Even we're rambling about like CBA nonsense, but let's dig into let's say blue sky scenario. It's January 25th. And Jeff Passaner, Ken Rosenthal sends out a tweet that we've been waiting for. And they go, the players union and the league are getting close to an agreement, should be done in the next few days. And we go, all right, let's talk some baseball. Let's put ourselves in that position for the Jays. We talked Bryant, we talked Ramirez. They need to get another starting pitcher in the mix here. What else do you think they could be in the mix for? Do you think they're going to go spend big money on a reliever?
I don't think so, honestly. Like, if you kind of look at, they added Yimi Garcia. That's not particularly exciting, but a lot of the reliever spots are kind of accounted for. I mean, you have Jordan Romano, Tim Meza, now Yimi Garcia. You have Simber and Richards. Like, that's already five spots right there. They have David Phelps coming back on a minor league deal. There's Julian Merriweather. There's a lot of options. If he's healthy, he's going to be in the mix. Nate Pearson might be a reliever. Like, is that really where they're going to go spend their cash? Like, the bullpen wasn't that bad after they got Simber and Richards. It was mostly just early season stuff. Yeah. Like, I expect that to be kind of the end of the off season thing. Like, who's left over? Let's go find a reliever. But I just don't see them throwing big cash at, like, say, Kenley Jansen. Yeah. I see them throwing big cash at a position player, perhaps another starter. But I don't see them doing it with the bullpen personally.
I was reading an article in The Athletic about the best remaining free agents kind of in each spot. And Carlos Rodon came up as the best starting pitcher. Is that a fit, or do you think it's more like I saw they were connected to like Kikuchi?
Yeah, the starting pitching options went pretty fast. I mean, a bunch of the guys just at this point, it's pretty much, there's not many names left. So this might be one of those situations where they have to go and answer the question via trade. We've talked quite a bit in the past about Oakland being like the perfect match. Oakland's ready to be terrible again and blow it all up, so the Jays can fix their third base problem with Matt Chapman and then go and get one of their many good starting pitchers. Cleveland, same thing. Jose Ramirez, just dish out a bit more and get like fucking Shane Bieber, something like that. And then there's the Marlins too, another one of those teams that they just need to add bats so badly because they don't have a single good hitter on their roster. They have all kinds of good young pitching. Cincinnati, again, good pitching there too. I think it's more likely it comes via trade this time, because then you also have a guy that there's just a longer period of control. And then just like we saw with Jose Barrios, you get him here in the mix and then you can sign the extension because he's familiar with the environment, likes playing here, blah, blah, blah. I think that is probably more likely, because I also think the Jays don't want to sign a guy that was qualified, because I think they want those comp picks. Because as the team gets more expensive in the coming years, Bo and Vlad sign their deals and they're going to need to have more cheap guys coming up that they've drafted. So the more darts you can throw at the board, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, the comp picks were exciting there for that exact reason. You know, there's going to be a point where they need good young players that they can bring up from AAA and that can contribute immediately at the major league level. It'll be interesting. I mean, it'll just suck that we have to sit here on our hands and be like, wonder how many more months until we can finally talk about the Blue Jays doing something. But I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
At least they've left us with narratives to think about. We can sit here and obsess about Gausman versus Ray. We can sit here and obsess about who's going to replace Semien. We can obsess about Vladdy Jr.'s younger brother, who's 15 and looks like a 25-year-old man. Maybe they're going to sign him next summer. I don't know. That'd be cool. We can get all worked up about that.
The other thing I saw floating around on Twitter is, because we've seen the players are wiped from MLB.com, but they're still selling player jerseys. Now, that could get interesting because, I mean, Christmas is coming up. People still want jerseys of their favorite players. Don't you worry, Cam, because our friends at the Sports Closet, they don't care about the lockout. They have Blue Jays jerseys on their website, sportscloset.ca. Get it before Christmas. They will ship to you. Check them out, sportscloset.ca. Also, if you're shopping for someone in your life who's maybe not a sports fan, twigandberries.ca, promo code NATION15 gets you 15% off. And that is how our podcast is helping our listeners do their Christmas shopping, by giving them plugs to two places that we absolutely love shopping at. You're coming back up to Edmonton. You're coming to see me soon, right?
I am. Yes, I am jumping on a plane on December the 14th. I will be back for Christmas. We can go skate around at the outdoor rink and have winter fun.
That will be a lot of fun. Maybe we'll do an in-person BJN radio and do something like that.
We don't even talk about baseball because nothing's happening. We'll just talk about other stuff.
Our new office is right on top of a bar. So maybe we'll do that. We'll get a couple wobblies brought up. couple yes. Bevraginos, and we'll talk about the Blue Jays, talk about how the labor negotiations are going. We'll bring in a lawyer. We'll get him to break down. And no, we're absolutely not fucking doing that. No, but we'll just talk more Blue Jays at that point.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit of a lockout as the bullshit happens and the slander comes in from both sides, mostly the owner's side. They're going to slander the players relentlessly and make us hate them because they make so much money. we'll find things to talk about. It'll be fun.
It will be fun. Until then, though, this has been episode 57 of Blue Jays Nation Radio. Coombsy, safe travels. Enjoy the holiday season. We'll chat soon.
That's what it is.
Thanks for tuning in to Blue Jays Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.